Praise the Lord. Are you still doing okay this morning, guys? Amen. Hallelujah. This is church. This is real church right here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Boy, time is flying. So you know what? We're gonna just give a little bit of time here today. Since we are on our 21 days of prayer, we're on day 15. I thought it would be nice just to throw out this morning some nuggets about prayer. Sometimes as we continue to pray, as we continue to hear, as we continue to fast, we get a little tired. And so I just want to just spur you on here this morning and just talk to you just a little bit about the power of prayer. Now, prayer is probably the most talked about in churches all across America and the world, but it's probably the most not done. We talk about it, but we don't do it. Father, I thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's about all we get. God is good. God is great. Whatever all that stuff is. That's not prayer. The type of prayer that God wants us to have. So why don't we do it? No, it's not quite lazy. It's we don't get the results. We don't get the results that we want. So we stop doing it. It's no different than you talking to a girl and she keeps turning you down, turning you down, turning you down. Well, most guys would get the hint. I guess I'm done. That ain't for me. She don't want me other than Pastor Tim up here. You know, I don't know how many times he got flailed, man, from Bethany. Nope, nope, nope. But he was too stupid to give up. And finally, I don't know what happened to her. If the Lord touched her and said, I'll do something special for you if you'll take him off my hands. I don't know. But, you know, hallelujah. She said yes, finally. But that's just a rare case, okay, rare cases that happen. So when we don't get answers, we stop doing it. And that's what happens with us concerning prayer. But obviously, that's not what God wants for us. Now, you look at this too. When a vehicle is made, depending on the model, it has specific details that only that vehicle has when you buy it. For BMW, for example, they have X1, X2, X3, X5s, X7s, X8s, MXs. They have all kinds of models for the BMW. But here's the thing. That model that you have, you only get certain things on that model that you buy. That's the car. That's it. But here's the deal. God created us. And in the creation, there are lots of different types of features that you and I have. Like, for instance, in the Philippines, I wonder why they kept staring at me. Because they love the blonde hair and the blue eyes and the pointy nose. That's all they talk about. Oh, my gosh, your nose. I'm like, what's wrong with that? Am I got a booger or something on it? What's going on? No, it's pointy. It's beautiful. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm serious. That's what they kept saying. Oh, your eyes are so blue. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, that's what they loved about me. I loved about their big, thick, black hair. I love that about them. You know, we all want what we can't have, you know? It's ridiculous. Yeah, amen. The big, thick, black hair. I mean, it was amazing. All right? So we all have different types of features as humans. But here's the deal. We're all made just a little different. But in the making of God, of God creating us, just like the car is designed ultimately to do what? No matter how many features are on it, no matter what it has, the heated seats, the air conditioning, what is it ultimately made for? To drive us somewhere. Yeah. Well, us as humans, we are designed, as different as we are, all to hear God's voice. We are all designed to feel His presence. We are all designed to have and get the Spirit and feel the Spirit. We're all designed with the Spirit that He's given us. We all have a spirit. The Bible says that we are spirit, but we just have this covering as a body. So even though we're all different, we are all made to do certain things, to hear certain things, to hear God's voice, to hear His presence. That's how He created us and why He created us, to be a part of Him. Now, when we get saved, something else happens. Now we have Jesus inside of us. Now we have the potential to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's our heavenly language. Now we have gifts, other gifts that we can have and manifest in our lives. The Holy Spirit now can help us, guide us. We have power. We have authority. So we go from the X1 to the X8. Hallelujah. When we give our lives to Jesus, in a sense. This is why we are spiritual people. That's why when you go out there, there's people trying to find all kinds of stuff. That's why the tarot cards are out there. That's why the Ouija boards are out there. Because we are spirit and we're trying to find something just to connect with. When God created us to connect with Him. As we praise and pray and fast, we are able to unlock other dimensions of God and have a greater result in our walk with Him. It is really endless what we can do. And when we get to heaven, the Bible says that we will forever be learning. Forever we will be learning. And you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So when we pray, it shouldn't just to appease our conscience or to just checklist off that we prayed today. Oh, it's done. That's done. Now I can clean the carpet. We shouldn't do that. When we pray, it makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. It's making a difference in your life, and it is making a difference in somebody else's life. Guaranteed, it is. Whether we feel it or not, whether we know it or not, it is happening. And this reminds me of a story in Acts chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." Go verse 5. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." Who is the church?
We are.
Who?
We are.
We are the church. You are the church. In verse 7, it says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' So he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel that was real, but thought it was a vision that he was seeing." And then Acts 12, verse 11 says, "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Eating. What were they doing? They were praying." So my question is this: if the church had not been praying for Peter, do you think that he would have been saved? Or do you think that he would have been another martyr? It's quiet in here. In the Ivory Coast, there were a group of 50 or more intercessors behind the stage, prayer warriors, praying continually while the crusade was going on. And I noticed them the second night, I think I noticed them. I'm like, who are those people over there all by themselves? Well, there are intercessor prayer warriors. Really? Yeah, they pray during the entire meeting. And before the meetings were there, they were praying. And they never stop. I'm like, no way. And I went over there. And it was like nobody ever went over and said anything to those people, ever. They were shocked that I went over and said hello. And they were so happy and pleased. And I'm like, I'm giving honor to whom honor is due. Because without them, would everything that had happened in the Ivory Coast had happened? Would the devil have succeeded? I don't know. We'll never know because they were there. And miracles, signs, and wonders happened. And the devil's mouth was closed and shut up because those intercessors were there. Thank God. Prayer works. Amen? Absolutely. Hallelujah. They were praying as we preached the word and demonstrated Jesus' power. They never stopped. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. So was it prayer that made the difference? I believe so. Prior to the upper room experience, the Bible says in Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So if they had not continued to pray 10 days prior to the Holy Spirit showing up, would he have still shown up? Would he have filled them with the Holy Spirit? And would thousands of people been added to the church when Peter got up on that rock or wherever and started preaching? I don't know. Maybe not. But because they stayed for 10 days and prayed continually, God showed up and he showed off. Now, 10 days, that's a long time of continual prayer, not knowing what's happening, maybe not feeling anything, but it worked. Amen. Because prayer works. Amen. Hallelujah. Those people invaded heaven with prayer before heaven invaded those people in the upper room. We had to do something first, and then God showed up. Hallelujah. The number six is the number of man. We do what we can do. We do what God tells us to do. We read the Bible. We do what it says. We pray. But of course, the number seven, as Eric said, is the number of completion. Hallelujah. Then God gets to do what he does for us. And he completes the work in us and answers those prayers that we've been praying about over and over, maybe sometimes for years. But prayer works. We don't stop praying. If Daniel had have stopped praying on day 20, the angel would have never met him on day 21, and his prayer would have never gotten answered. We need to engage with God to make a difference, not to check prayer off our list. Amen? There are people alive today only because their grandmother was a praying grandmother. I've heard more testimonies than that from any other testimony. If it wasn't for grandma, I wouldn't be here today because, man, she kept praying for me. There are people here today healed, set free, and delivered only because of the prayer of faith has set them free. That's it. Thank God for praying people. Amen? Our little granddaughter, who's now 4 weeks old, I think about 4 weeks old, I missed 10 days of her in Philippines. My son came to me and said, Dad, she hasn't pooped for 2 days. And I said, okay, that's not good, all right? And I said, okay, well, what did the doctor say? Well, if she doesn't go within 7 days, come and see me. Ooh, 7 days. So I immediately prayed. And Nicole prayed. And Quentin, he went and he laid hands on her. All of a sudden, I'm in the office. This is the next morning, okay? The next morning, she hadn't went for 2 days. I'm in the office and I'm studying, and Quentin said, Dad, come here quick. I said, okay. I got up. What? I went, oh, man, the bomb exploded. She had went, and I mean, she went everywhere, over the sheets, everywhere, it was all up her body, everywhere. I said, yes, and I gave Jill a high five. I hope it was with her clean hand. And I ran out to the garage. Nicole's cleaning out her car. I said, Nicole, come here quick. You got to see this. She said, what? She goes in there and they're like, wow, yes, wow. We're praising God. We're shouting. We had never been so excited to see so much poop all over the place in our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we were excited because prayer worked. Hallelujah. It worked. I can't imagine 7 days not going to the bathroom. But buddy, I'll tell you what, we were laughing and she was the only one crying. It was beautiful. Hallelujah. Never been so excited over poop in our whole life. If blind Bartimaeus would have not stopped shouting for Jesus when they told him to shut up, would he be healed? No. But when they told him to shut up, what did the Bible say? That he continued to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me, even louder. And the Bible says that Jesus did what? He stopped. And he said, bring him to me. Listen, when we pray, Jesus hears our prayers. He stops and he's listening to us. PDM would never be here today. Brother Eric wouldn't even be with us today. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if Pastor hadn't of taken 18 months, and he didn't know it was going to be 18 months, when he started praying and fasting and saying, there's got to be more than this to ministry. There's got to be more. And for 18 months, prayed, fasted, and watched healing tapes. Pray, fast, for 6 a.m. to noon, every day for 18 months. Then Jesus came into through that wall, put that ring on his finger and that robe, and said, you're going to the nations. PDM would never be here today if he had not prayed and fasted and not given up. Hallelujah. I can't imagine 18 months. On day 10, I'd have been tired. Why ain't I hearing anything? 5 months, 8 months, 9 months, I'm done. I'm going back to the factory. That's what he said he was going to do. If I don't hear from God, I'm going back to the factory. Thank God he didn't give up and he was persistent. And because of that, hallelujah, I now get to sit on an airplane for 14 hours in a little seat with turbulence, praying and thanking God this plane's not going down because I'm in it. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel and eating food that's running through gravy that I cannot see. Hallelujah. Sitting in economy. I'm believing God for a donor for business class. If you're out there and you feel that tug, you come and see me. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And if extra, give one for Andrew too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Eric is always, he's already on Emirates. He's already got it made. He's got plenty of points. Hallelujah. Just us, man. Feel for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe also that our daughter Alexis would have had extreme physical problems when she was born if we hadn't have taken what that doctor said, not ignored it, not ignored it. We saw the proof and the evidence that she was abnormal. We saw it. We listened to them, but I did not agree with the report of man. I said, well, this is what God says about my baby, not what man says. And thank God I took the scriptures and read those scriptures and prayed those scriptures and prayed and prayed and prayed, even when those ultrasounds still came back the same. I said, Nicole, you're done. We're not going back. I can see your faith is wavering. We're not going back. We're going to stay the course. Thank God we did. And she came out perfectly whole. Hallelujah. Because of the prayer of faith and not moving. Prayer works. It works. Hallelujah. In Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Thank God Jesus prayed for Peter. Thank God for that. Did you know that the Holy Spirit also prays for you and I? It says it right here in Romans 8, 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Think about that word, weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Look what it says right there. What is a weakness that we have that the Holy Spirit helps us with? The fact that we don't know what we should be praying for. The Holy Spirit calls that a weakness. And instead of getting honest about it, well, you weak, stinking Christians. No, the Holy Spirit is so gracious. God is so merciful and so loving to us that he says, fine, they don't know what they should be praying for. They should. That's what it says. We should know what we're praying. But since they don't, I am going to intercede for them because they don't know what they should be praying for. That's the God that we serve. That's the love that he has for you and I. That he will take our weaknesses, step in front of us, and intercede on our behalf. Woo! That's powerful. That's absolutely powerful. Intercessions, it says, for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now jump down to Romans 8:34, because it just gets even better. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. So you might be sitting out there today thinking that nobody ever prays for me. Nobody cares about me. But the Bible just said that could be no further from the truth. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are doing more than praying. They are interceding for us. Do you know what that word interceding actually means? It means that they are putting their shoes in our shoes and bearing whatever we're bearing. They are taking our place and praying for us. Wow, our situations. The Holy Spirit and Jesus combined. Praise God, we are getting prayed for. Hallelujah, that should bring faith to you right there. That the Holy Spirit is interceding, Jesus is interceding. Hallelujah, they care for us. And they're working on our behalf. They're acting like it's their problem. That's beautiful. That's the God that we serve this morning. Prayer changes things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say that. Prayer changes things. It absolutely does. Prayer changes prayer requests up here to praise reports in Jesus' name. And that's what I thank God for. Every time I see those praise reports, God, I thank you that those praise reports are going to be more than the prayer requests in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to build your faith here this morning, real quick. Okay, now, let's see here. Let's talk about how we are praying for a few minutes, because if we're praying the right way, our prayers will have a greater impact in our lives, of course. Remember, we just read that the Holy Spirit says that we should know what to pray for. I saw this sign when I was doing some study. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want Him to say. Okay? So basically, a lot of times, all we pray is what we want from God. Sometimes we pray our needs, okay? He says, I already know what you need of anyway. But this is one of the reasons why we don't get answered prayer as well. Because we tell Him what we want. Well, what does that make us? Does that make us God? And Him a slave? And He's subject to us? I don't think so. I think He's God. We're subject to Him. Right? We're the kids. He's God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we should be praying God's will for us. God's will for us, not our own will, but God's will for us. If we are praying our own will, God, give me this or give me that, again, then we're the boss and He's not. And we know that He's the boss and we're not. It's God's will. It's His plan. His purpose and His desires, not ours. Not ours. I know it's hard to think about that way, but it's true. We want a little bit of God's will, but when it costs us something, then we tend to say, well, your will, oh God, prayers go out the window. Praying God's will is like tithing. We all want to give God a little bit. I'll give Him 20 bucks today. Here you go, God. Like He needs it, like we're doing Him a favor. But when it comes to giving Him the tenth, the tithe, and we know how much we make, I got to give Him 50 bucks out of that 500? Woo! I can't afford to do that now. No. You want me to pray God's will and not my own will? Man, that's a little hard to deal with. No, if only we would pray God's will, we would get our prayers answered. If we would just tithe, all of our needs and the windows of heaven would just be opened up. Use your faith. Take that step of faith and see what God will do for you. Hallelujah. All right. Show me in Scripture where Jesus had any unanswered prayer. I'll wait 2 seconds. There is none. You find any, John? None. No, God, Jesus got His prayers answered the whole time. What did He pray? He prayed God's will, didn't He? He says He don't even say anything or do anything that He hadn't seen His Father say or His Father do. He prayed God's will. Jesus said, Lord, this is what I want in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember that. This is what I want. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. 1 John 5:14, and 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to whose will? His will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. Some examples might be, you know, I feel alone today. I feel empty and by myself. So, God, please come near me. Your word says in James 4:8 that as I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. Bam, he will answer that prayer. That is his will. Because he sticks closer than a brother to us. God, I need your wisdom on how to deal with my teenager today. They're giving me problems, Father. And you said in James 1:5 that if I lack wisdom, that you will give it to me liberally. Hallelujah. That's his will. And we are praying his will for our lives. And he will answer that prayer. It's a guarantee. You will get wisdom on how to deal with that kid. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you for the victory over this temptation in Jesus' name, according to 1 Corinthians 15:5-7. You quote that scripture, and he will help you, and he will answer that prayer. John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What was the condition? Unfortunately, there are conditions. We have to abide in me and my word abide in you. When we pray our will, well, guess what? We have to do it by our power. And we ain't got much of it. When we pray according to our desires, it has to be done by our own ability. But when we pray according to God's desires, we are coming into agreement and there is now power in our prayer and it will be done. When we pray God's will, nothing can stop that prayer. Amen? Nothing can stop. Who's going to stop God? Please. John 15:7 says, Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The condition is abiding in him. And then you go down to 1 John 3:24. So how do I abide in him? What does abiding in him really mean? It tells us in 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps what? His commandments abides in him and he in him. So keeping God's commandments is abiding in God, doing what is right. Hallelujah. And then in Psalms 37:4, it even says it a little differently. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The condition is what? Delight. Delight means to take great pleasure in. To please someone greatly. Okay, so you're going to give me the desires of my heart. But God, when I read other scriptures about the heart, like Jeremiah 17:9, says that the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. So if I delight in you, I'm going to get the desire of my heart, but yet my heart is wicked. So how does that even make sense? That doesn't make sense to me. Oh, it will, though. When you pray God's will, here's the deal. If I want to please God, then I don't want to sin. Okay? I want to continue to change, and I want to do good and take pleasure in pleasing God. So then, if I do that, then my heart will change. Right? I won't have that wicked heart any longer, because I'm changing, because I'm abiding in him, because I'm pleasing him, and my prayers will be answered. The fruit of the Spirit will be more prevalent every day, and God says that he searches the heart. And when the conditions are met, God will give me my desires. Do you see the pattern that's going on here? There's a pattern in it. Answered prayer will happen when we pray God's will. When we abide in Jesus and his word abides in us, that's keeping his commandments, obeying, continuing in his word, delighting ourselves in the Lord, which means to please him. These actions will guarantee answered prayer in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he needed people to pray with him. Guys, I need your prayers. But they couldn't do it. Jesus needed help. He needed some people to pray with him. But they couldn't do it. All they could do was sleep because of that turkey that they ate. So here in closing, everybody stand with me. I'm going to skip over this. I just wanted to give you some quick nuggets to stay strong in your prayer. Don't give up. Don't get all queasy. He's listening, and he is hearing, and he will answer our prayers. Jesus did the unthinkable for you and me. And Nicole brought it up a little bit in our dream team meeting at 9:15. A death so bad that he was unrecognizable. When we think about those things, how bad do you have to be unrecognizable? He put all the sins of the world upon himself. Every sin, every possible sin, every sin that had ever been committed, he put upon himself. And I was sitting in the office and I was thinking about that yesterday. I want you to think of the worst possible sin that could ever be committed to another person. He bore that sin. That was on his shoulders. He saw that. He felt that. That dark sin. And think of the combination of the world's sins on his shoulders, on that cross, and God turning his head from him, being completely innocent, doing nothing wrong, but helping people while he was on this earth. And yet he bore that as well. He did all that for us, and yet somehow we don't believe that he cares about our prayers. He cares about our prayers, and he cares about you, and he cares about me. When we pray God's will, pray his promises. You have aligned yourself up with the word of God and you have the power of God backing you up. Wow. And we have guaranteed answered prayer. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing the word. When someone hears the gospel message, the Holy Spirit gives them the faith to receive that message. And then they respond by confessing Jesus and believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and instantly they are saved. Instantly that horrific sin that they might have committed is washed away. Instantly they are a child of God. Instantly you have a seed of faith. Instantly now, hallelujah, you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's there with you. You have power, you have authority. Hallelujah. And you have guaranteed answered prayer. I feel sorry for people who don't know Jesus because God says he doesn't listen to the sinner's prayer. I see all these Muslims praying three times a day, and I just look and I'm like, God's not listening to that. In our hotel room, they have signs pointing to the west or east or something, because the Muslims have to pray three times a day in a certain direction. So there's a sign on our ceiling in our room for these Muslims. And they got little places in the airports over there for Muslims and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, useless. Because he doesn't hear their prayer. But if you believe and you confess, he will listen to your prayer. So you may be here today. You say, you know, Pastor Randy, I'm not saved. Yeah, all you have to do is just answer a simple prayer. Just repeat a simple prayer. That's all he asked for. He could ask for so much more because of what he did for you and me. But all he said is just believe and just confess, and I'm yours and you're mine. So if you're here today, I always give this opportunity. Every pastor will, every week. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just simply raise your hand so I can see it. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Anybody in here today at all? Anybody at all? Say, you know what? I need him. I want him. I need him. I'm looking. No hands, no hands, no hands. We got one? Hey, okay. All right, you see that hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody? I'm looking. All right. Let's all pray this together, and I need you to pray this, and it's simple. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you this morning as a sinner on my way to hell. But Lord, I thank you right now for forgiving me for my sins. Wash them away, Lord, and never remember them again. Now, Father, I thank you that I am now saved. I'm a Christian. I am born again. Now, Lord, help me live this life for you, to be pleasing to you. Bring people by my path that will help me. Now lead me and guide me, because I'm going to live for you, because you died for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says that when just one person gives their life to Christ, there's a party in heaven. Angels are celebrating and partying. I wonder what kind of cake they have. It's going to be awesome. A cheesecake. I love it. Hallelujah. Oreo cheesecake. Praise the Lord. Chocolate chip cheesecake. I'm hungry. Okay. Listen, if you need prayer for anything this morning, our prayer team's coming down front right now. And when I close out in prayer, we want you to come down. The Bible says, lay hands on them if you're sick, and they shall recover. Did you hear that word? They what? Shall recover. Hallelujah. That's a guaranteed promise from God, that when we lay hands on you, you shall be healed. And if you didn't come down and you want to confess, pray, they're here for you to do that. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that happened today. We thank you that we are alive and we get to commune with you and have communion with you today. We thank you, Father, for another wonderful staff member, God, bringing him on, God, to help our children in this church, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do, the vision that you have for us in the children's church in the future. Thank you so much for that, Lord God. God, we ask that you bless every home, every person here today, their homes, their families' lives. God, hallelujah. Father, we rebuke divorce in the name of Jesus, Father, in this house today. God, I thank you for families close together, knitted together, Lord God, in this house, Father. God, I thank you that as they leave today, every place they put their foot, they are blessed. God, I thank you for the promotions. I thank you for the jobs they've asked for, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the guaranteed answered prayer, Lord God, for the saints in this house today. Give us a great week, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that, you know, we are King's kids and we tithe. So Lord God, we just rebuke any frozen pipes this week. We know the temperatures are going to be cold. Protect us, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord. If we need to do something for our homes, for our pipes, whatever, God, give us that wisdom today. Bring it to our remembrance. Do this, and do this to protect our homes, because we are tithers, Father. We thank you for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, God bless you guys. We love you all. See you tomorrow night at 6 for prayer. And if not, we'll see you Wednesday night.